Amen.
You don't even have to have a, huh? How can we not see? Yeah, well, if you can't see this, I need to pray for your eyes. Hallelujah. By the way, Friday night, our prayer this week is we're going to be joining with New Generation. We're going to go to their facility. They got a new building, a little bit bigger than what they had, and a little different configuration, a little wider, not so narrow like ours. But they're going to, they're believing God like we are. They know that that's not anywhere near going to be their last place of enlargement. Amen. Right. But we just want to go and just pray, and we worshiped with them, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful. And so any of you that can make it, it's at Bethany Home? No.
It's Glendale.
Glendale Road and
35th Avenue
on the northwest corner, kind of.
Yeah, suite number 37102.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get all that out to you this week. But you need to allow time. We will start at 7 because those of us in East Valley have to trek our way over there. And yeah. And so... Yeah, from Mesa?
Yeah.
From your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday. So allow yourself some time. Maybe leave a little early and go get something to eat or something and get there relaxed and ready to go. But either way, just come and join us. We'll be there for, like typical, probably anywhere from an hour to hour and a half probably of prayer and worship together with the Dagninos and their church family there at New Generation, which I can never pronounce in Spanish. Can anybody say it in Spanish? I can't say it in Spanish and do it justice. But I do say with great pride that I do know the Taco Bell menu. So, and I speak it perfectly. Glory be to God. Are y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Angel, could you turn this mic down a little bit? Or kill some other channels. I don't know what... I'm getting a roar. This is always cranked up for other voices besides mine. Which is loud. Not too much. Yeah, don't take it out completely. Just how about that right there? Is that okay? Is that going to be okay for the recording? Okay, sorry. So that's Friday night this week, by the way, the prayer time, okay? So please make note of that. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready to get into the Word for a few minutes? Let's do it. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 43. John 1, 43. The next day, he, speaking of Jesus, purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Y'all can tell Nathanael's one of those guys that just says what's on his mind, right? Hello? Right, Bakersfield. And Philip said to him,
"Come and see."
Come and see. Amen. In other words, you know what he's saying? Well, why don't you go see for yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Why don't you come see for yourself? I mean, you're acting like you can't believe that the Messiah would come out of Nazareth. Well, then why don't you come and see? Come check it out for yourself. How many of you know that no one can see for you?
That's good.
They can describe something. That's what the prophets do. They describe something. Right? Revelation describes the throne. But only you can see it for yourself.
Right.
I mean, there's a huge difference. A huge difference. Now let's go to verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." I think the old King James says guile. In other words, the guy is what he is, and he speaks what he means. He doesn't have any agenda.
Right.
Are you with me?
Right.
And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Everybody say, "I saw you."
I saw you.
And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi," this is amazing, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I would have added, "Even if you did come out of Nazareth." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you," even Jesus is amazed. Look what he says. "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see," everybody say, "see, greater things than these." And he said to him, in case we could misunderstand this in any way, Jesus makes it clear. "Truly, truly, if you're a King Jameser, verily, verily," amen, "I say to you, you will" what? "See the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember, Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man be what? Born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom. And then in a few verses later, he said, enter the kingdom. And I know y'all have heard me say this many times. You can't enter what you don't see. If you don't see it with faith, you can't enter into it. Amen? Hello? Every time, you might say, well, why would we get prophetic things, prophetic songs, prophetic things, challenging people? It's trying to get you to see beyond your natural vision, to open your heart and see and hear what the Lord's saying so you can enter into it. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, when God's speaking, I want to enter into everything He's speaking about. Amen? If you don't watch me, I'll steal your word.
Come on now.
You ever try to get a good word and you're like, well, I'll take that. He doesn't seem too excited about it, but I'll take it. Anybody with me? Yeah, I'll put that in my tool bag. I'll take that home and pray over it. Amen. But anyway, you see and you enter. We were born again to see things. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, don't freak out on me. I'm talking about bumps in the night stuff here, okay? Amen. Seeing a demon on every doorknob. I'm talking about seeing things in the kingdom of God. We're told we can be born again to even behold Jesus, the King. Because I mean, you're going to see the King's kingdom, you're going to see the King. And He's promised to reveal Himself to us. He's given us His Holy Spirit so that we could see. And, of course, so that we can hear His voice, right? Seeing and hearing, looking and listening, you'll notice they're always joined together.
Amen.
Because, you know, you see something. You know, how many of you know, somebody can talk to you on the phone. Well, most people don't know what a phone's for anymore. They think it's for texting.
Yeah.
I always tell people, I said, you know, you can make a call if you want to. And not have to sit twice as much time pecking on your phone. But anyway, okay, I'll get off my soapbox about that. But I'm believing a new generation is going to rise up and use their phones as phones. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But I didn't even know what I was going to say there. Forgive me, Lord. But there's just something powerful about being able to see. Amen? Like, I love it when I hear from my son or I hear from my grandkids, but I love it even more when they FaceTime me. Right? Because I want to see their expressions. I want to see their face. You know what I mean? And they want to see Papa. Okay? And so it's important for us to understand the importance of hearing, but also seeing. And Jesus promises that. And I want to show you this. I want us, if you would, to go over to John 14. We're in chapter 1. Flip all the way over to chapter 14. And listen to how Jesus talks about the coming Holy Spirit, who had been with them, but was getting ready to be what? In them. Amen? Let's pick it up with verse number 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Now, some translations say comforter, that He may be what? Talk to me. With you, how long?
Forever.
Hallelujah. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not what? See Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be
in you.
Hallelujah. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, how many of you believe in the second coming?
Come on, bro.
All right? We all believe it. That's not what He's talking about.
Come on.
He's talking about the ability to be able to hear, to see Jesus. He said, you're not going to be living as orphans. Because if that meant the second coming, those guys got the bad end of the stick. Because He never came for them. They lived like orphans. So it cannot mean that.
Right.
He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Very important to get that. Because I used to read it that way. Years and years ago, I used to read it that way. After a little while, look what He says. Get this now. The world will no longer see me. What does He mean? In the flesh, right?
Yeah.
They'll no longer see me. I'm not going to be here in the flesh. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's so cool. Try to unpack that and explain it. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will, say it with me, disclose myself to him. I will reveal myself. I will allow you to see me. Are y'all getting this?
Oh, man.
Very important. You will see me. Obviously by the Spirit and not in the flesh. How many of you agree with me it would have been really cool to be able to walk around with Jesus for 3.5 years? Seeing the miracles, beholding him in the flesh. But he actually said, it's expedient for you that I go away. In other words, it's going to be much better when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Are y'all with me? Because there's no way he could be in everybody throughout his bride, throughout the earth, if we all had to find a way to find out wherever he is. Where's Jesus going to be this weekend? Right? What town's he going to be in? What's it? It's so much better, so much more expedient that now he is within us. He actually said in another passage, the Father and the Son will make their abode within us. In fact, it goes on to say that in this passage. You will see me. An orphan spirit, I'm convinced of this, that many in the body of Christ have an orphan spirit. They're saved, but they feel like they're alone. They don't feel like Papa's close. They don't feel like Jesus is. They really don't. They don't live that way. Everything, even in prayer, is to get God to do something, to come and do something and all of that. And we can tend to understand it's an orphan spirit that says, woe is me. Oh, God, please help me. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God in a time of need. But when you if you don't understand faith, crying out doesn't mean boo-hooing. Crying out is lifting up your voice with great faith and confidence in the goodness of God. Are y'all still there? So we got to understand that. I believe the orphan spirit is the result in anyone's life of a lack of revelation. When we have a lack of revelation, we can battle with the orphan spirit. And how many of you know, you can have some great revelations of things you've seen in the Lord and the reality of his presence. But how many of you know, even with that, many, many times you can slip back into feeling like an orphan, right? We can tend to get like that, like real solitary and like nobody knows. Like I mean, even Elijah did it, right?
Yes, he did.
I'm the last one, Lord. And the Lord said, no, that's not true. You know what I'm saying? But you could get like that in this great man of God, you know, a battle with that. So don't think it's beyond us to battle with that. But the key is seeing. The key is seeing and hearing his voice. The beautiful spirit of adoption, I don't believe we really can know the scope of the adoptive spirit that he placed on us without seeing him and having a relationship with him in that way. Amen? Because think about it in the natural. If you were adopted by a father, he adopts you and he takes care of you. He gets clothes in the closet for you, provides for you, but you never see him. Now, he did adopt you, but how many of you know, without the relationship, but if you never saw daddy, that's going to greatly impact you.
Right.
Even though he paid for everything and he takes care of you and he's committed to you. Are you with me? And many people kind of live like that. I know he's got my back. I know he loves me. I know he's my provider. We start calling out, but it's in the relationship with him through seeing and hearing. It's the dynamic and the spirit of an intimacy and a closeness with God. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you with me? You'll hear about sometimes, and I'm not making fun of anyone when I say this or poking fun, but sometimes some of the people, they get so in despair. A lot of times it'll be young people, and they got adopted by, for example, a very wealthy family and was provided for, but see, daddy wasn't there. I'm not talking about a dad that was out messing around. I'm talking about a dad just too busy to be a father, even though the provision was there. And how many know those gaps can, and we see that. If it works in the natural in families, believe me, it works in the spiritual family too. Amen? Say, I'm not an orphan. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And I want to really challenge you with these passages. Most of these you guys already know. I mean, I quote quite a bit of these to you a lot. But here's the thing. Knowing him, just like knowing his love, is experiential. Right? If you read a book about my life, I don't think there's one out there, but if you did, how many of you know you don't really know me, you just know about me, right? How many of you love the Bible? I love the Bible. Amen? But my relationship's not with a book. Hello? Because, boy, this book has caused a lot of confusion when there's no Holy Spirit anointing on it. Amen? Everybody's got an opinion about every verse. And how to cherry pick them for their glory. But let me tell you something right now. God's wanting us to do something mighty. The only way you can know me is we've got to be close. We got to see each other. We have to have some time together. Amen? And it's really important. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, I think. He said that we're to no longer know one another according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. Have you ever noticed in the world with all the turmoil, everything is about flesh?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Even in America, with all that's been done and all the movements and all the, you know, all the things to try to bring the sense, we're back looking at the skin again. Hello? Everything's about flesh. We even judge whether somebody, he's a white guy or he's a brown guy or whatever. Fill in the blank. My point is, that's the way the enemy works. But he said, you want to know, longer know one another according to flesh. But then he said this, even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, Paul writes, we don't know him that way any longer. Notice that. We don't know him that way any longer. And nobody probably had a harder time with that than the original guys, right? They really had to make the transition. You and I transitioned from not knowing a thing about God to at least knowing about him and get to know him. They had to transition from knowing him in the flesh and being familiar with the Spirit to having the Spirit within and learning that this is actually better for them. We still on the same page. Not trying to be confusing. He's no longer walking around in the flesh. Amen?
Right.
If he walked in here today, and he did, but if he walked in the flesh, I guarantee you this room wouldn't hold the attention it would bring. Because that's what everybody wants, right? And you know what? He is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. He is coming back. But that doesn't mean until then we're all orphans, right? I just wish Jesus would show us. I just want to be with the Lord. I'm with the Lord right now. And the Lord's with me. Amen? Yes, I want to go to heaven. But see, even that affects how you live your life on the earth. Amen? The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that spirit of adoption testifies to our human spirit that we are the children of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
You will see me, Jesus said. Because I live, you will live also. Which tells me something. Really understanding life, living, is beholding him.
Yeah.
That's where you really begin to understand life and living. When Simon, Jesus asked his disciples who everybody said he was, and it was one wrong answer after the other. Nobody got the right answer, right? Sound like a really bad day on Family Feud. You know. And then finally he says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter always chirped up first, right? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. Because why? Get this now. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. I mean, you could have looked at flesh and blood and looked at the miracles and looked at everything in that realm and said, he must be the Messiah, right? You could have concluded that. But he said, why you're blessed is because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. Hallelujah. So just the fact that you believe in him, you're blessed.
Yes.
You got a glimpse of him. Oh, but let's get to know him more than a glimpse. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I think the beginning of this true discipleship is beholding. It's beholding him. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of principles, a lot of truths that are good and you need them, but without the beholding, that's the difference. Because I don't think you can ever see discipleship cause us to transform without beholding. Because when you look at all the beholding, all the transformation scriptures have to do with seeing things totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? Disciples, again, had known him according to the flesh, and they were going to have to learn to know him in the Spirit. And because of this knowing and seeing in the Spirit, they were in no way going to be the same guys who walked around with him in the flesh. Hello? Totally changed. Even up until the time of his death, after 3.5 years, Peter is still ripping out his sword and whacking off ears. These guys still hadn't gotten it. Yeah, they still didn't know him. They were not. What changed them was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It totally changed their life. They were totally different guys after that. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And this is the difference. That's the difference maker. It's to be able to behold him. Amen? Now, go with me. Oh, now, how many of you agree that John could certainly write about what it was like to see Jesus in the flesh? He spent more time on this topic than anybody in his gospel. That's all we've been in. But, you know, there was another so-called gospel that John wrote, and it's called the Book of Revelation. Right? Turn there with me. Revelation 1, go to verse 10. Revelation 1:10. I was what? I was what? Say it with me. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book. What does it say? Next three words. What you see. Everybody say that. What you see. And send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned
to see
the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw. Do y'all remember when Moses, you remember what caused God to be able to speak to him? But it wasn't just a burning bush. He turned aside to see what this was about, and God spoke to him. Are y'all with me? Let's be a generation that turns aside. Amen? God, I don't understand this, but I know you're speaking to me in it. Y'all with me? That willingness to turn. What if you just walked by and went, there's a burning bush that's not being consumed. That was weird. Go down to the bar tonight. Boy, you should have seen what I saw. Give me another drink. It was the weirdest thing ever. And we just have some phenomena to talk about. But he turned aside and God spoke to him from a burning bush. Hallelujah. So he said, having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. Praise God. And it's... Sorry, is my hair look okay? And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Sorry, everybody. Jesus is loud.
Amen.
Heaven's loud. Amen. Read the book of Revelation. It is not quiet. Sorry. Hey, I was a Methodist. We were really quiet. Did you know the Methodists? Well, okay. They were known as the shouting Methodists before they died. Unfortunately, I wasn't raised with the shouting Methodist. I was raised with the shushing Methodist.
Shh.
Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, my goodness. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I
saw him,
I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I'd be like, okay, I won't be afraid, Lord. I'm just not going to look up anymore. You know what I mean? I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead. Hallelujah. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Would you agree with me? John saw Jesus like he had never seen him before. Even the memories of what he wrote about in his gospel about Jesus, not that we don't need them. And I learn a lot looking at how he walked and lived in the earth because I'm a part of his body in the earth now, right? But there's a seeing of him that we need to see. It changes everything. And we all know John was ostracized to the Isle of Patmos. He was there under punishment by himself, and the Lord revealed himself to him in a mighty way, unlike he'd ever seen. And you know what? The Spirit promises us in the Scripture that we can see. And that we can hear. Amen? That we can dream big. Y'all know it. What does it say? Things which our eye has not seen and our ears have not heard, or things that have not even entered into our heart. In other words, things we could have never imagined is what that means. With the very power of the sanctified imagination, all that God is what? Prepared. So it's already prepared for those of us who what? Who love Him. For to these, God revealed these things by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches what? All things, even the depths of God. We can go deeper. We can ascend higher. Amen? We don't know it all. Come on. Thank God for great experiences and great revelations. But there's so much more. We'll spend eternity trying to figure it out. Are you with me? And we're invited. Here's what I want to encourage you with. We're invited in our worship and prayer life to see him.
Amen.
Are we not? I mean, what do you do with all these verses if you don't believe that? We were invited to see him. Now, let me say this to you. Each of us are invited to see him in secret, right? Jesus said, Matthew 6:6, my Father who sees what in secret will reward you openly. And meaning, he will openly show himself. I always thought that meant that when I leave my prayer closet, he'll do things. And then I begin to study it out. It literally means he'll reveal himself. Think about that. Our private time in prayer ought to be really, really special. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. But he's also invited us corporately to see him.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? Because there's a corporate anointing too where we come together for that purpose. To see is essential if we're going to rebuild as his remnant and rebuild a house of God that even closely represents what the Bible shows the house of God to be. And so that's why it's important for us. We need to have revelation together. Would you agree? Because, you know, the pastor, a leader, anyone could stand up and talk about principles. This is in the Word of God and all that. But when we get a revelation of it, it suddenly changes how you even look at church, how you even look at fellowship, how you even look at koinonia, how you even look at ministry. Because you've got a revelation of what it looks like. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus is the cornerstone of everything God is building. Everything goes back to the cornerstone. And that's what I have to look at. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're really, let's be honest, we all are. We tend to, I hate to say the word idolize, I don't know what else to say. We become mesmerized or idolized with someone who has an anointing and a gift. And we should honor gifts. We got to be really, really careful. I don't imprint upon that guy's gift. In his life, I still have to see Jesus. Are you with me? And it will stop a lot of the idolatry in the church where men and women are literally idolized. You don't think it's true? I've seen where huge churches where one man of God that was idolized left that church or fell in sin or whatever, the church completely collapses. Our eyes were on the wrong thing. Amen? Amen? To see is so essential. Amen? What does it say? We were just talking about this just last week. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, come on, there is liberty. We all with what? Unveiled faces. Come on, about little exam time. How do you get an unveiled face? You look at Jesus. You behold him. Amen? And what do? We're beholding as in a mirror. You'll notice that. Anytime it talks about transformation and glory, he uses that phrase mirror. Because you're looking at who you really are in Christ. Amen? And so you're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being what? Transformed into your pastor's image? No, into his image, that image that you've been beholding. Are y'all with me? I love, what's that song you and Daniel have been singing a lot lately? Come and behold him. I mean, that's just been on my heart, and I don't know why I didn't remember to add it to the song list today. Daniel will be back next week, by the way. Hallelujah. But come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating, lovely, and all these terms to describe that. How many of you want that to be a reality, not just a song on the screen up here? Are you with me? That's the reality of who and how you see the Lord. Everybody okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
It's through our beholding him together, and I think this is why the enemy has worked overtime to get people separated and away from one another. There's something about beholding him together. God wants to drop some major revelation bombs on us. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, I believe that. It's going to transform us and change us. How else can the bride get ready? Don't tell me the bride doesn't know she needs to be ready. We all know that. We can quote the verses. Let us rejoice and be glad. For the marriage has come and the bride is what? Made herself ready. I don't know how to get ready. Are y'all with me? The only way I can get ready is to behold the bridegroom. Are you with me? That changes us, and we start to see the same thing. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
I don't think it can happen any other way. It's always connected to glory. See, how many know this? He's not looking for a million little brides.
Come on, one.
A million individuals who love him in their own way.
Come on now.
It's the bride.
The
bride is made up of all kinds of individuals who love him and who see him and who hear his voice and who know him. Amen? His flock, his sheep, his people who are won by the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because they're beholding glory. What did Jesus say? Father, the glory you have given to me, I give to them that they may be one. Everybody say one.
One.
Hallelujah. And he describes it as the Father is in me and I am in the Father that they may be in us. So he made it very, very clear the type of oneness that he's called us to have by the glory of God. And you know, a couple of verses later in that's in John 17. But a couple of verses later, he said this, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, get this, be with me where I am so that they may see my glory, which you've given to me. I want to see the glory that he's given us. Anybody with me? We all should have learned something from Moses. He turned aside, right? And the Lord spoke to him. But Moses also said, oh, Lord, if you go with us, we'll go. But show me. Come on, y'all know where we're going. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. That wasn't a clever song written recently in contemporary worship. That was way back in Exodus. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. Oh, his face has shone into our hearts from the light of the glory of the face of Christ has shone into the hearts of the believer. Hallelujah. I love this. And I believe this has to take place before he returns. Because we're not going to get ready as a bride and we're not going to become glorious because we found another building.
Come on, bro.
It's only in beholding.
Right.
I'm learning that. And I've learned a lot over the years. Let's give Rick a golf clap. But It's the transforming that we need. Amen? I'm not anti-information. I'm not anti-renewing the mind and all that. But, you know, there's a renewing of the spirit of your mind. That's different than just you got scriptures filed away in your brain cortex. Right? Vortex, cortex, whatever. What was Paul's great prayer in Ephesians? For revelation. He said that we would have revelation. Remember what he said? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I love that. The Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge, the experiential knowledge and knowing of Him. Amen? So that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened or opened. Amen? Don't you love that song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. First few times I ever sang that, I used to go, well, do I have a right to ask for that? Because I didn't know. Anybody with me?
Come on.
I used to think, well, if I pray that, then I might die here in just a moment and go to heaven.
Come on,
right? Like, I want to see you, Lord, but can I finish my job down here? You know. Right? Can I see my grandkids grow up? Whatever, you know. I didn't know what it meant, really. And then later, as I got a revelation of the revelation about having revelation, and then that song was even more powerful. Let's sing it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. You remember the rest? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lift your hands. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Shh. Heard somebody say one time, the reason we sing those songs of other people's revelation, because I'm wanting to create an atmosphere that He abides in. Anybody's in His presence, there's this constant, holy, holy. Amen? There's this constant, worthy is the Lamb. Blessings and glory. And constant!
Come on, constant.
You can't have that in your house and then not change your house. Come on! You might wreck the whole apartment block if you started to live in this. Amen? I don't know what's wrong with that house. That house glows in the dark. Amen? How about our own life glow in the dark? Glory be to God. We send our kids out and they're glowing in the dark. They're going, those are weird kids. Those are weird kids, but they're full of the glory of God.
You are the light of the world.
Hallelujah. When eyes are open to see, I believe dreams and visions are more frequent. I believe we can have a sanctified imagination. Anybody with me? I believe this word will come alive. You won't just read it and have stories memorized. You'll see it.
Right.
Who knows the difference?
Right.
There's a difference when you see it. Amen? You'll see Bartimaeus when everybody telling him to be quiet and calm down, jump up and throw off his beggar's jacket and says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And then Jesus looked at him and said, what can I do for you? The guy's blind. We all know the story, right? Are y'all with me? When your eyes are open, you have faith for the things you're hoping for. You see it before you receive it. Amen? That's what faith does. How about this? What He promised Nathaniel, which I believe when He said truly, truly, He promised it to all of us.
Yeah.
What? To see the heavens open and to see angelic activity. Hallelujah!
Do it, Lord. Do it. Do it, Lord.
I've been in services where people have come down and said something like, there's angels in here today. Or God just showed me there was. I always know there are, but I really like it when somebody sees them.
Yeah.
Right? Margie's done that on more than one occasion. Come down with her booming voice. And she goes, there's an angel over here right now. Susan does it better than I do, Marge. She does your voice better than I can do it. But I tell you guys, it's I just want it to be commonplace. I'm serious. You might say, oh, now everybody's going to think we're a bunch of fruitcakes. They think that about you anyway. They think we're a box of Fruit Loops. So what? Right? Most people like Fruit Loops, right? They eat it like candy. Some of y'all look at me funny like, where are you taking the church, Pastor? But most importantly, we'll see Jesus.
That's all that matters.
Come on.
That's all that matters.
That'll wreck us. Hallelujah.
Come on.
I believe the Spirit of the Lord is beckoning the sinner right now. Come and see. I do. Even the one that right now is mocking and scorning and hates the church. But Jesus is saying, why don't you just come and see? Why don't you go check it out for yourself, big boy? Amen?
Hallelujah.
And I think he's saying to the prodigal, why don't you come and see how deep the Father's love is for you?
Amen.
He's been longing for your return before you ever realized the pig pen was not your life. Amen? And he's saying to his church, those of us who never left him, he's saying, oh, come and see.
Amen.
Amen? Come and see how good I am. You're not orphans.
Amen.
You're not abandoned. You're not alone. You're not children. I mean, you are children. You're not abandoned orphan children. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. Stick with your notes, Rick. Stick with your notes. All right. Isaiah 6. Let's go there real quick. Hallelujah. Just think how much nicer it is in here than out there. Feels really good in here, right? Isaiah 6, look there with me. Y'all know this is another passage we know pretty well, but let's look at it today. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I what? Talk to me. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. I heard one guy preach on that knew the Hebrew, and he said it literally meant his train kept coming and never quit coming. The train of his temple. I mean, the train of his robe. I'm sorry. Filling the temple. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Seraphim stood above him. Now get a load of these guys. Each having six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. That's quite a creature, right? And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole what? What? What?
Earth.
The whole earth is full of his glory.
It is.
And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, this is Isaiah, guys, prophet of God. He said, woe is me, for I am ruined. Doesn't the King James say, I am undone? I am undone. In other words, I'm toast. Right? Yeah, this is not going to work out good for me, right? Why? Because I am a man of what? Unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes, come on, have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How many are glad when we look at him, we look at him with grace? Amen? Hallelujah, because we can say, oh, Lord, I want to see your glory. Do you really? Because the glory comes as a consuming fire. Amen? Isaiah saw this in the spirit. Everybody with me? Go to verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. I know I've shared this many times, but that would have terrified me. That creature was coming toward me. And let's just add a little bit more trepidation to it. With a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. Ouch. He touched my mouth with it. Everybody say, in the spirit. Come on. Stay in the spirit here. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. How many know fire is not a bad thing?
Fire.
Amen?
Fire.
Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I. Send me. Think about this. By a mighty revelation and a beholding of God himself. Think about that. Isaiah was transformed from a woe is me to a here am I, send me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
He went from a woe is me to saying, I volunteer freely. I'll go. Right? Because when you see glory, see, that's going to change it. It's going to get the church outside the walls. It's going to get the church motivated. I say the church. When you start seeing glory, you can't keep it to yourself, and you can't sit on it.
Come on.
When you sing the King, I want him to so radically change us that we'll be like the book of Acts.
Yes.
Totally different guys, amen? Instead of whimpering down and making excuses in front of a servant girl that says she thought she saw you with Jesus, to suddenly standing and preaching at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls are saved.
3,000.
Hallelujah.
Let's go.
Glory be to God. Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Here am I. Send me.
You know, I love to say that, but I want to say it from a transformed life.
Right.
Amen? Because I beheld glory.
That's right.
What we behold, we become. This is why the Lord hates idolatry. Idolatry is all about getting you focused on the wrong thing, is it not? The mystery is Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. And the glory of the image, again, is like a mirror, the Bible says. We're able to see who we are in Christ. Here's the thing. If there's no beholding, there could be no transformation. Don't turn there for the sake of time. Some of you know the story, but let me just quickly share it with you. In Genesis 30, Jacob has decided he's ready to get out from under Laban's thumb and take his wives and go live for himself and provide and get on with it. He's just tired of being under Laban's control. So he made a deal with Laban about the lambs and the goats. And he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to separate far from me all the speckled and spotted lambs and goats and get them out of the way and remove from the flock. But any of the newborn lambs, now you got to think, all that's there now is a bunch of white lambs, right? Any of the new ones that are born speckled are mine. Of course, Laban's like going, I'll take that deal any day,
yeah.
Right? This is a no-brainer. Boy, dummy, you're never going to have anything, you know? It didn't say that exactly in the scripture, but that's the point. Okay. So Jacob, get this. Jacob takes these poplar rods and almond tree rods, and he takes them and he peels white stripes in them. Anybody know the story? He peels and makes spots and stripes in these rods, and he placed them in front of the flocks. He placed them in the gutters. He placed them in watering troughs because, see, they always mated where they watered. That's where they mated, okay? So they're looking at this, and so they mated by that. And guess what? Overwhelmingly, the flocks brought forth spotted and speckled lambs and goats. It's an amazing thing. But what's the principle? You become like what you behold.
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on now.
Or we would say it another way. We would say you become like what you worship.
Come on.
And don't tell me that's not true. We idolize in this generation all kinds of things. From athletes to singers to musicians to whatever. Images that we look at. And it does impact us if we don't understand the power of beholding. This is why the enemy placed before us the lust of the eye and the pride of life. He wants us, that's what we behold, to be obsessed with. David said this. He said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. And I don't know. I need to look it up. I've never looked it up. And every time I come up to this in a message, I think about, why didn't I look it up? I don't know if David said that after Bathsheba. Because if you remember, everything was cool until he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. It wasn't a problem. David understood. He was a worshiper and lover of God, a man after God's own heart. But see, even in that moment of beholding, it totally changed the track of his life. Are y'all with me? Worship is beholding and listening and seeking his face. Amen? We're going to become like what we worship. How many know that's for good or evil? Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord would never say to you or me, well, you've seen enough, Rick. You know enough. You've seen enough. You've experienced enough. He wants to reveal to us the depths of God. Amen?
Amen?
He really does. He really does. Revelation, though, is ongoing and unfolding. The word revelation, the best way to describe it from the Hebrew is it would be as such, it's the pulling back of a veil or an opening of a door for you to see something, get this, that was already there, but you'd never seen it before. Right? And revelation opens that to reveal it to you, right?
Thank you.
Amen?
Thank you.
That's why with God, he can say there's nothing new under the sun, right? But we're just seeing glimpses of things we've never seen before, and revelation pulls that back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so we start to understand that, but it's not only an unfolding, because let's be honest, sometimes we can settle at one revelation, and God has so much more he wants to give us. Amen? We can get glimpses of Jesus, but he's wanting us to see him more fully. Now, if you would, go with me to Acts 26. Is that the last passage I gave you? Okay, this will be the last one we'll look at, okay? Acts 26. What's happening here is the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa. He's basically giving his testimony of how Jesus appeared to him, okay? Everybody remember the story how Jesus showed up to Paul? You talk about a glorious encounter, right? What a way to start your walk with Jesus, right? Powerful. And look what it says here. Let's go down to 15. Acts 26, 15. And I said, he was speaking to Jesus. Paul said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said to me, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. Get this now. For this purpose I have what?
Appeared to you.
Okay? To do what? To appoint you as a minister and a witness. Everybody say a witness. Not only to the things you, underline this, have seen. Okay? I mean, it's important that you're a witness of what you have seen. Correct? But also to the things, and what does it say now? In which I will appear to you. Do y'all see that? So you got the things you have seen, but it's also what he's showing you, what he's appearing to you. Amen? Rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am what? Sending you. Oh, this gets better. To what? To open their eyes. So they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to what? To the heavenly vision. Now, clearly this passage reveals to us that Paul's revelation was ongoing. Would you agree?
Yes.
You're going to testify of the things I'll show you and the things that I will show you. And I believe he's still saying to us, come and see.
Come and see.
Come and see. Come and drink. There's more. Amen? Draw near. Let's go deeper. Hallelujah. Now, I mentioned this earlier. I believe in singing the beautiful songs and hymns and spiritual songs of the scriptures. Don't you? I love singing them. But let's be honest. These are songs we sing that are a description what other men saw. Right? And what they heard. And we trust it because it's canonized scripture. But even like Isaiah, when he said he saw it before the throne. Have you ever noticed there's always a common thread? There's great worship before the throne. Everybody's ever seen the Lord. You with me? And so the worship, that's why we understand. That's why there's so much revelation when you're in the midst of worship. But there is a beholding. Here's what I heard. Again, I'm not against singing songs that have been written or singing from the scriptures. Everybody hear my heart? But I believe there's a beholding where we're going to sing what we've been seeing.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
It'll be those spontaneous things that we're revealing. Amen? I would like to sing holy, holy, holy because I've seen him.
Come on.
Because that's why they never cease. You can't look at him and not say holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
And so y'all see what I'm saying? I don't want to do it because I need to do it or I ought to do it. Amen?
Yes.
I want to do it not only to create an atmosphere, because I know that's where he would abide, but I want to behold him.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you guys?
Yes.
With all the verses I've shared with you, how could you come away with any other meaning?
That's right.
That he wants us to behold him. He wants to disclose himself to us because it will absolutely wreck us and change us.
Yes.
In a good way. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we all need to have the slack jerked out of us every once in a while, right? Come on. Let's ask for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. Let's ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon us. Let's ask for that. Remember he said to Laodicea, get some eye salve and heal your eyes. Why? So that you may see. There it is again. Not seeing always will result in lukewarmness and apathy. David said, like David, let's make beholding him our one thing. Amen? To behold his beauty, to seek his face. Let's become mesmerized and fascinated with him. Have you ever noticed sometimes your soul and even your body will object?
Come on.
Right?
Come on.
But can I tell you what? Even your soul and your body, the psalmist said, longs and yearns for the living God.
Yes.
Sometimes our soul just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But our spirit man is going, oh, please, let's jump on that wagon. Right? And the soul's going, well, I'd rather watch football. I'd rather, you know. Football is pretty amazing. After all, we use God's words to describe athletic ability as awesome.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, we do.
Yeah. Come on.
Words that were intended for God, we use them to describe an athlete.
Yeah.
Come on.
Jesus.
But God's, I tell you, deep down inside, I love songs. We'll get into a pattern sometime in a song. It'll be saying, we're telling our soul to bless the Lord. We're telling our soul to sing to him.
Yeah.
How many know it's good to boss your soul around?
Yep.
Yeah, because if I wait and let my soul make the decision, I won't get out of bed. I wouldn't even be here today, much less wearing this beautiful shirt.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
This billboard for you today. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Everybody say this with me. We will see greater things than these. Amen. That ought to excite us about worship, excite us about the prayer closet, excite us about prayer night. It ought to excite us about getting before God and beholding Him. Amen? Now, let me give you a couple of things in closing. Commit your heart to seeking the Lord. Commit your heart to it, to beholding Him for that very purpose, to know Him more, but also be consistent. How many know consistency is really important? It really is. I don't have hands free to be doing what I was getting ready to do, so I'm going to put this back down. What I mean, you might say, well, how, Pastor Rick? In worship, in prayer, and in the Word. Okay? I don't know any other way to behold Him. But in prayer and worship and in the Word. That's how you can behold Him. Amen? Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that. Amen? No secret formula here. Hallelujah. Think about this. The law of inertia, if that is a law, what does it teach us? You can't steer something that's not moving. Right? Now, we all as kids probably jumped in mom and daddy's car and right? But you weren't steering anything because you may have been moving the wheel, but you weren't going anywhere, right? And I'm telling you, you got to begin moving toward the Lord. I don't believe He says that I will completely disclose everything to you the moment you pray this prayer. No, you got to get the inertia going, amen? Get going in the right direction. Seek His face, draw near, amen? And then have an expectation, Lord, I know You're going to reveal Yourself to me in amazing ways. Who knows, perhaps some of us may be one of the ones that the Lord might say, come up here. I'm going to show you some things you do not know. Amen? I'll take that ride. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Y'all might need to find a pastor because I probably won't want to come back. I said, Lord, just let Marvin do that. Amen.
Amen.
I'll do it.
Amen. But He will disclose Himself to us privately and corporately. Everybody say privately and corporately. Now, I've got to get this thought to you before we pray. Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. Have you ever thought about that?
Wow.
He only spoke what He heard the Father saying. So we know that from Scripture. Let me show you. His custom was what? His habit was to get up early before dawn, go out into the garden and pray to His Father. Right? That was His custom. I'm convinced this habit of His was how He was able to see what the Father was here and hear what the Father was doing. Now, I don't know if the Father laid it out before Him every day, every instant, and everything. I think some things He did. Because remember, when He went to Samaria with the woman at the well, that was totally off course to go do that. And that had to be something He saw the Father tell Him, we've got an appointment here. And we've all seen, you know, we've all read that in Scripture. And if you've seen it in The Chosen, they beautifully portray it, how He had to argue with His disciples because that made no sense to do that. But see, He had seen the Father ministering to this dear woman at the well, right? I got an appointment at the well. And I believe God will give us appointments.
Come on, appointment.
But not if we don't get before Him and behold Him. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yes.
What we repeatedly look upon, we will become. I love encounters, don't you?
Yeah, come on.
I've had them all. I've had men and women of God who I respect lay hands on me. I've hit the floor. I've shaken, cried, experienced things. I've been there. I've been there, done that. I love encounters with the glory and power of God. I'm not ashamed of them. Anybody with me?
Woo.
But you know what? What really transformed me is the consistency of beholding.
Yes.
Right? Because sometimes that'll just become an event that I kind of wish I could have again. And not so much transformed the way I see and hear the Lord. Amen? So here's my encouragement to you. Curtail, if not even fast, from Facebook and social media. Okay? What I mean, those platforms and even TV. But here's what I'm saying. I'm not being legalistic. Hear my heart. Hear my heart. What these things do, they lure you in. Whether it be sitting in front of that box in your living room. Right? It's like a spider web. That's a great example. Or you're just thinking, you know, for me, I usually am just looking at private messages to see if anybody's trying to get a hold of me. And then I make a real mistake when I start thumbing through my timeline. Come on. None of y'all do this. And the next thing you know, you've been looking at it 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
Right? And I would just strongly encourage you, we're beholding the wrong things. And I say that to me too. Whether it be Facebook, social media, just burning hours that we could be beholding Him. And I believe as well, that's what fasting is about. Fasting is not about so much saying no, it's about saying yes to God.
Amen. Yes,
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Because
some people, you talk about turning off the TV and getting away from social media, they go, well, what am I going to do with my life? How about find a life? Find a life in Jesus, amen? And start pressing into him, amen?
Amen.
What if we had the same amount? Come on. I do it. I'm not picking on you guys. Where is my phone? Heavens, I can't finish the sermon. Oh, there it is. Y'all seen this? You know, we're at a restaurant, whatever. You thought you heard something vibrate? Just try not to be rude. Of course, most families don't even care they're being rude. I've looked at families in the booth, and everybody in the family is doing this. Nobody's talking. My point is, even that aside, what if we had the same urgency to want to know what the Holy Spirit's showing us? Just to go get along with God. I want to pull this time away and go get with God. Amen? I want to get into the Word and allow Holy Ghost to cause this Word to come alive to me. Amen? Y'all with me? So I think we just have to make some choices. Because really, we are beholding. We are beholding something, right? We're giving our attention, our imagination, the eyes of our heart to something. This is why the enemy knows, this is why pornography is so powerful. People try to, I've had guys argue with me that it's innocent. I said, dude, no, it can't be innocent. It's sucking you in. Amen? And it's transforming you into something you're not, especially if you're in Christ. Amen? Come on, everybody. And so, I know I used some extreme examples, but I'm telling you, sometimes even the subtle ones are just as bad. Right? And we can become obsessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was his custom. So let's repeatedly get before God. Again, are you okay with that?
Yes, sir.
One more thing. I keep saying one more thing. One more thing in this segment. No. Pray and worship more in the Spirit. Pray and worship more in the Spirit. Pray and worship and sing in your prayer language, okay? That is given you by the Holy Spirit. Remember Paul. Would you agree with me Paul had some great revelation? Would you agree with me? I mean, 2/3 of our New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul, who never walked with Jesus in the flesh. He certainly wasn't a disciple when Jesus was in the flesh on the earth. We know that. I don't know if you ever saw him or not, but that, you know what I mean. But Paul said this. He said, I pray in the Spirit or speak with other tongues more than you all. And I'm thinking, okay, there's something there. He knows how important it is. Because after all, we want to be what? In the Spirit. So I encourage you to do that. Just take some time to just be still before the Lord and just worship him. Sing in English, pray in English, but also sing and pray in the Spirit. And then just take some time to wait. We're not really good at quiet, but we need to get quiet. Amen? We need to wait expectantly before him. These are some things I want to do to encourage you as we go forward. Everybody okay? You received that today? So let's ask the Lord. Could you come up, Virg? Let's ask the Lord right now, if you could. Just close your Bibles and quit looking at social media. Everyone's going, oh, I was just looking at the time, Pastor, I promise. Now, I got early on when we first moved out here, this is really when phones and stuff were becoming where everybody had one, and you know what I mean? This is way back in when we were at the museum. We're talking many years ago. One Sunday, Susan goes, honey, that was a great message. My wife is she's my biggest fan. She was just making me feel better. And I go, well, that's fine, honey, but half of the young people out there were looking at their phones the whole time during the service. And she goes, if you notice, none of them have a Bible. And she goes, they're looking at the scriptures on it. And it made me feel a lot better, and I had to repent. But I did jump to a conclusion. I thought they were playing games and, you know, looking at social media and sending messages and all that. You know, and I'm bringing this powerful word from the throne. But anyway, I got over myself. And I'm sure some people do. But that's not the point. The point is, will we behold him? Amen? Would you just lift your hand? Let's place your hands out in front of you. Just kind of change your posture for a moment. Lord, we pray today and ask you today, open the eyes of our heart. Would you just pray that in your own way? Just say that to the Lord. Cause my spiritual senses to be awakened to you so that I can see you, Lord, that I may behold you in worship and in prayer, that I may behold you in the scriptures. Anoint me, Holy Spirit, to see. Pray this with me. I come to see. I choose to come to you, Lord, to draw near so that I may see, that I may behold you in all of your beauty, in your glory, in your majesty. Show me your glory. Lord, I pray today for my brothers and sisters and for us all. Release over us the eye salve to heal our eyes. To heal our eyes of things that have made our vision cloudy. To heal our eyes of the distractions of life. To heal our eyes of the images, especially unrighteousness. To heal our eyes of our idolatry. Release the oil, Lord. Release the salve, oh God. On every heart, in every life, on every eye, on every ear. To see you clearly. To know your voice. Would you pray with me the words from David's psalm? Would you pray them with me right now? Just say with me, Lord. There's one thing I desire. One thing. That I may dwell in your presence. In your house. All the days of my life. That I may behold your beauty. Your glory. When you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Come on, say that. Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. For I know. I was born for this. I was born again to see the greater things than these. Disclose yourself to me. Disclose yourself, Jesus, to all of us, to your bride, like never before, that we would be changed. Transformed, even glorified in your image, Lord. And Lord, I pray over each one that you would release a hunger and a thirst for this very thing. And Lord, even when our soul and our own flesh tries to pull back and drag its heels, we say, no, 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 I must come and see. No, 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 I must draw near. I must press in. I must ascend higher. I must go deeper. I must. For he's prepared things for me I've never looked upon. And I want to see it, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Yeah.